Our text for the whole month, just about, of March has been Isaiah chapter 53, one of the greatest passages of Scripture. I preached from it this morning, the morning service, in the early service. And I want to read that chapter again, and then I'm going to make just a few comments here in a few minutes. But I want to read Isaiah 53. This was written 700 years before Christ ever came, before he ever suffered on the cross. Notice what it says in Isaiah 53, verse 1. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there's no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone into his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he is cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgression of my people was he stricken, and he made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide with him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sins of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. Would you bow with me for prayer? Our Father, as we stand in the shadow of the cross this morning, we remember, our Father, what you did in giving your Son for us, how he suffered for us, and what the awful price he paid, the physical torment and the spiritual torment, the alienation from God the Father, our Father, for his descent into the lower parts of the earth, our Father, for paying the redemptive price. And God, we're glad that he is the Redeemer. I pray, God, the Holy Ghost would do what I cannot do. I pray, God, that you'd speak to the hearts of men, women, boys, and girls already through the music, through the cantata, and now through your word and your spoken word this morning. God, give me your anointing. I pray hearts will be touched, God's people encouraged, and those who are not saved would be saved. And we'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus said, I have come to seek and to save that which is lost. His purpose in coming to this world, he said, was not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom. He did not come to live. He came to die. He came to give his life a ransom, to pay for our sin debt. I want you to look at one passage of Scripture here this morning, just briefly, and notice what he says. Verse 11, and he shall see the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. Satisfied. I want to talk to you for just a few minutes about the satisfaction of the Savior. In this one chapter here, there are at least 34 distinct things it says about our Lord. It says that he would grow as a tender plant. He'd be like a root out of dry ground. He would have no form nor beauty, and that we should desire him. He was despised, rejected, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and people hid their faces from him. He was despised. He was not esteemed. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. We attributed or esteemed to him that he was stricken of God and smitten, that he was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The iniquity of us all was laid on him. He was oppressed. he was afflicted, and he was brought as a lamb and a sheep to the shearers and to the slaughter. He was taken out of prison. He was cut off. He was stricken. He made his grave with the wicked. He was bruised by the Father. He was put to grief. He made his soul an offering for sin. He travailed. He poured out his soul unto death. He was numbered with the transgressors. He bare the sins of many, and he makes intercession for the transgressors. All of those things in this one chapter about him. Do you understand that he has a heart for us, that he loves us? It says in this passage of Scripture, he shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. How many of you have ever been so hungry you thought you would absolutely die? I mean, you were hungry as a bear. How many of you ever said that? Man, I'm just so hungry, I don't know what I could do. And the rest of you are lying. Y'all, you've been that way. I know you have. I've seen you at home coming to praise God. And that's why I pray up here. I wouldn't dare pray back there. You get run over between here and there. But how many of you then have at Thanksgiving or Christmas, you gather with the family, all that beautiful food, and you just look so forward to it, and you ask the blessing, and you eat, and you eat, and you eat, and then when you get through, you're just stuffed, and you said something like this: I'm so full, I don't think I'll ever eat again. How many have said that? Raise your hand. All right, put your hands down. How many of you lied when you said that? Everybody in here. Because we had temporarily satisfied a fleshly desire. And in our thinking, boy, this is going to last forever. But it didn't. And because of that meal, you had, previous to that indulgence, you had a need. You had a natural hunger that motivated you to eat. And having fulfilled that desire to eat, you were satisfied, but only temporarily. This word satisfied is nothing like that at all. Because in order for that word satisfied that we use, having a desire or having a craving or having a hunger and having to satisfy that desire means that we were lacking something. We didn't have the food we needed. You have thirst because you don't have the fluid you need. But I want to tell you, he's absolutely perfect. He was perfect before Calvary. He was perfect before Bethlehem. He was perfect before the prophets of the Old Testament. He was perfect before the mountains were ever formed, before the stars ever shone at night, before the sun ever rose in the east, before the moon ever reflected the glory of the sun. He was perfect before the world was ever fashioned. He was absolutely perfect. He had no need, no insecurities, and no dissatisfactions. He has nothing that was absolutely necessary to him for him to be completed, for him to be satisfied. Calvary was not a satisfaction to him that it met some need in him. Calvary was necessary to meet some need in us. This word satisfied in the Hebrew means this. As we use the term in our vocabulary, it's a little different. It has to do with this idea of meeting not our need, but others' needs. It is the answer of a requirement. Satisfy, to answer a requirement. It has to do with the idea of giving that which is due, or to complete in full. It means to fulfill completely a duty or a requirement. The Lord Jesus Christ did not come to this earth because he needed something. He came to this earth because I needed something. And when he hung on that cross and he suffered and bled and died, when he said, "It's finished," he said, "I'm satisfied now." What did he satisfy? What was satisfied in the Savior having gone through that agony, having gone through that? Was he satisfied that the suffering was over? No, that wasn't the satisfaction whatsoever. What was it? Was he satisfied that people finally recognized he was the Son of God? No, you know that's not so. What was that satisfaction? What did he satisfy on that cross? Number one, he satisfied the holiness of God. He satisfied the holiness of God. Men had sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. And there were people who came. Saul came. David came. Solomon came. In all of those men, none of them could fulfill perfectly the holy demands of God. They could not fully show who Christ, who God the Father was. But Jesus Christ came and he said, "He that hath seen me has seen the Father." He satisfied the holiness of God. He satisfied the demands of the law. He said, "I didn't come to destroy the law, but to fulfill the law." He satisfied perfectly all of the law, but he also satisfied the penalty for sin. Jesus Christ, the Bible said of God, he's not willing that any should perish. But because of sin, men die. There is a penalty, there's a wrath hanging over sin. There's a condemnation to it. There's a penalty to it. But when he came, he fulfilled the perfect holiness of God. He fulfilled the perfect letter of the law. And then he perfectly satisfied the guilt or the payment due because of sin. He paid our sin debt. And when he cried, "It is finished," he was satisfied. All the sins of all the ages had been piling up. They had come and offered endless line of lambs and bullocks and sheep, offered all of that. And yet the law was not satisfied. A holy God was not satisfied. The payment on sin was not satisfied. It said in the book of Hebrews that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sin. But it said when he saw the travail of his soul, he was satisfied. All of the guilt, all of the penalty of sin was paid in full. The debt was paid in full. He satisfied all the demands of the law. Then it says this in that regard. It has to do with the idea of settling a debt completely and fully. He paid the debt of sin completely and full. He said, "I've come that you might have life." He said, "I've come to give my life a ransom." And when it says in this passage of Scripture that he was satisfied, it meant that he now had prepared the way for men and women, boys and girls, to go to heaven. There are no shortcomings. There are no flaws in his plan. There's no inadequacies in his atonement. He's able to save to the uttermost all that call upon him. God the Father's been satisfied. The law's been satisfied. The demands and the penalty of sin's been satisfied. And the way has been made clear. I was talking to a good preacher friend the other day, and I was telling him what I told you the other Sunday. He's dealing with something along that line. And he said, "I read in the book of Hebrews where it says he sat down. He sat down. He ascended up on high and he sat down. Why did he sit down? Not because the job was too big. Not because he became weary and tired. He sat down because he was finished. He was satisfied." Brother Barry Barber sings a song, "I'm satisfied with Jesus." But the question comes to me as I think of Calvary, is he satisfied with me? I don't know about his satisfaction with me. I know I fail him miserably. But I can say this beyond any shadow of a doubt. God the Son is satisfied with what he did on Calvary. A holy God is satisfied with what he did on Calvary. The law is satisfied with what he did on Calvary. And the penalty and the payment of sin was satisfied on Calvary for me and you. And it's perfectly clear now that anybody, whosoever will, can come. No wonder Nicodemus had confusion and wondered about that. He knew something of what the Bible says about sin. He knew the awful consequence of sin. He knew the horrible payments due to sin. And when Jesus said to him that you must be born again, he said, "How can that be? How can I start all over again? Can a man enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus said, "Are you a teacher of the law and you don't understand? You don't understand what it says in the Bible? You don't understand what it said in the Old Testament? That Jesus Christ was going to come and that he was going to perfectly satisfy the holiness of God. He was going to satisfy the demands of the law and he was going to satisfy the payment on sin and he would be satisfied with the way of salvation? Can you say, you said, Brother Billy, it's entirely too simple? No, it's not very simple at all. Not very simple at all. It was very complicated, very difficult. It was so difficult, it took a holy God clothed in human flesh to purchase your redemption and my redemption. On my part and your part, it's easy. On my part, your part, it's simple because he made the way and he's satisfied with that. Listen to what he said. Not me, but listen to what Jesus said. He that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. He said, if you'd come to me, I'll give you of the water of life freely. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Have you got to do this and that and the other? No. He's perfectly satisfied. The demands of the law have been satisfied. The holiness of God's been satisfied. And the debt due of because of sin has been satisfied. But it has to be an acceptance of the person of Christ and receive him. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed. He's satisfied. He's satisfied. You could say, oh, but there seems like there ought to be something else I need to do. There ought to be some price I ought to pay. There ought to be some sacrifice I should make. No, he's satisfied. God the Father is satisfied. The law is satisfied. The debt due to sin is satisfied. God the Son is satisfied. But you have to know him. You have to have him. How many of you on this Easter Sunday can beyond any shadow of a doubt raise your hand and said, I have him. He that hath the Son hath life. I am glad that Jesus lives in my life and I'm saved. Would you raise your hand? I'm glad he's in my heart and life. I know I'm saved. You may put your hands down. I wonder how many of you this morning feel like there's got to be something you've got to do. Surely there's something you must do. But can I say there's only one thing you can do? Repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. All the holiness of God's been satisfied. All the demands of the law has been satisfied. All the debt of and guilt of sin has been satisfied. And the way has been made clear, and he's satisfied with it. It's a way of faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. What do you mean, Brother Billy? I mean he's more real than I am. He's right here, right where you are now, the person of the Holy Spirit of God. He's speaking to your heart. You know that you're not right. You know that you're a sinner. You know something's missing in your life. And how do you respond to that? What do you do? You, by faith, receive him. You acknowledge the fact that you cannot save yourself and that Jesus has died. He bore your sin on the cross. He was buried and rose again. And that he has paid the perfect, complete, full, satisfying price of all the demands of a holy God. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me. That's how you come. Right now, right where you are. Would you in faith this morning, would you turn to him? Would you believe on him? Would you accept him right now? Right now, will you believe what the Bible says? He satisfied your demands. He satisfied all that God the Father required. Don't shortchange him. Don't belittle him. Don't insult his holiness and his wisdom by thinking you've got to have another way. Humbly bow before him. Acknowledge him sovereign and Savior. And say, dear Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. You died to pay my sin debt. I believe you paid it in full. You were buried. You rose again. You're alive. I accept you now as my Savior and my Lord. Come in my heart. Forgive me of all my sin. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me and for saving me. I don't know what God's doing in your life right now on this Easter Sunday. we've had an awesome experience in the drama. But I want to invite you right now, let's stand together with our heads bowed, eyes are closed. If you, this morning as a Christian, if you feel like there's something missing in your life, you're not where you ought to be with Christ, you're not excited about serving Him, you don't have the fire and the zeal of God in your heart, if you're not active and faithful in your church or some church, if you're a visitor or guest, if you're not serving Him faithfully, I invite you this morning, just slip around this old altar and give the Lord everything you've got. Ask Him to purge and forgive you and surrender to Him and say, God, I want to be more faithful to You. I want to love You more, serve You more. If you're here this morning, you're not a Christian, if you'll take a step of faith, I promise you He'll save you. Believe in your heart, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Right now, will you slip out and come right where you are? Come on right now. If you want to be saved this morning, you come on right now. God's Holy Ghost speaks to your heart. Will you come on right now? Men and women, boys and girls, you know you're lost. You know you need to be saved. Will you accept Him? He's satisfied. I mean, He satisfied a holy God. God the Father said, that's all I need. No more bulls, no more goats, no more sheep, no more lambs, no more sacrifice. He's all I need. He satisfied me. The law says I don't need any obedience. I don't need any legislation. I don't need any Phariseeism. I don't need any ritual. I'm satisfied. He fulfilled the law. The sin debt paid in full. There's no debt to be rendered, no money to be raised, no penance to be paid. It's all paid. The way is clear. It's a way of faith. Respond in faith. Slip out from where you are. Come. Trust Him. You got everything to gain, nothing to lose. Say, come and say, Lord, I want to be saved this morning. He'll save you. Somebody will pray with you here around the altar. One more thing before we go now. I wonder if in this crowd this morning, and it's a great crowd, and I know it'd be a little crowded, I feel this response. But before we leave here this morning, we haven't tried as best we could to give Him all our glory, to give Him all the glory. But I wonder this morning, on Easter Sunday morning, if you wouldn't want to come and just stand or come and bow around this front and thank Him once again for Calvary.